now.
And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. It feels great to be back. It feels great to be on our own home turf, our home soil, or as we know it, London, East London, Shoreditch, the old East End. It feels great to be back from our travels abroad. I want to say a big thank you to everyone who came either up to myself or one of the team and introduce themselves and let us know how much they really appreciate the content we're pushing out. That means a lot to us. And it was great to meet so many cool people. We met all of the block producers out there. We've met a lot of different projects. Obviously, Everpedia, who we did a podcast with. We're hanging in with the Ikigai guys. And we were hanging out with everyone in San Francisco. Big shout out to Rob Beniski, who was the winner of the EOS Hackathon, along with their team Nougat. We had a wonderful time, and actually at the minute, Marco, our content king, is creating some pretty cool stuff that we're going to be displaying in the next coming couple of days, maybe weeks, of all the video footage that we've put together from our trip abroad. But listen, that's that. Let's get down to business, and let's start up the levels real quick. So Bitcoin's currently trading at $6,288, down 1.5% in the last 24 hours. Ethereum is currently at $201, down 4%. We've got Ripple currently trading at 49 cents, down 5%. Stellar, which overtook EOS, is now number 5 on the coin market cap ranking. That's number 5. It's currently trading at 25 cents, down 6%. Oof. EOS is currently trading at $5.15, down 4%. And we have Litecoin currently trading at $48. And that's down at 4% as well. The market cap is currently $205 billion. That's been depreciating from its $210 billion high in the last 48 hours. Seems like it's come down a little bit. But what we'll do now is we'll get into why. We'll get into what's been going on, what people are talking about, and what the lay of the land currently is. So let's get down to business and let's get on to the next part of the show. So for all the Bitcoin Cash holders out there, this is going to be a big story. Bitcoin Cash's mining war escalates as blockchain hard fork approaches. The global network of computer operators who today help power the Bitcoin Cash cryptocurrency are beginning to signal that they may take differing paths, which is big news, ahead of a technical update scheduled for Thursday. Data from CoinDance indicates that Bitcoin Cash mining pools, collectives of individuals and companies providing computer power to the cryptocurrency, the world's fourth most valuable, are indicating they will run a version of the software called Bitcoin SV, an alternative to the Bitcoin ABC software most widely used by the network today. So in fact, early signs suggest Bitcoin SV may control some 76.39% of the network's current mining power. That's huge. While it's too early to tell if this many computers will actually update their software, causing the Bitcoin Cash network to split, the strong rhetoric employed by those backing the upstart Bitcoin SV software, including Craig Wright, the Australian cryptographer who claims to be Satoshi Nakamoto, suggests this is a possibility. Wright, in particular, has vowed to destroy the ABC network, going so far as to threaten ABC proponents on Twitter. Amidst this dialogue, SV's hash power advantage is up from 73.62% just a day ago. In particular, CoinGeek, the platform owned by Wright supporter Calvin A, jumped from controlling about 30.6% to the overall hash power of to 41%. In contrast, Oak Miner, the mempool, both lost a significant portion of their hash power, falling from 7.64% and 6.25% respectively to 3.4% each. Wow, that's a huge loss. Meanwhile, mining pools, particularly supporting the Bitcoin ABC implementation spearheaded by Roger Ver, have made gains of their own. In particular, Bitcoin.com, AntPool, and Bitcoin.com now control 8.33 and 4.86 and 6.25 of the total hash power, respectively. AntPool and Bitcoin.com are controlled by Bitcoin Cash supporter and hardware giant Bitmain. As of yesterday, both of Bitmain's pools have controlled 2.78% of the power each, while Vir's website had 6.25%, which is Bitcoin.com. While several mining pools have firmly declared support for one party or another, a number have yet to publicly express which network they might help secure. The most prominent of these is Visa BTC, which controlled 7.62% of the network total yesterday, though its relative power dropped to 2.08% by 1400 UTC today. So another pool, Northern Bitcoin, likewise has yet to commit a particular implementation, though Chief Technology Officer Moritz Jaeger told Forbes that his pool switched from Bitcoin to Bitcoin Cash to be among the decision makers on the upcoming fork. So still, while Bitcoin SV seems to have a clear advantage in hash power, traders seem more confident about Bitcoin ABC. BCHABC, a trading pair offered in advantage at some exchanges, is still trading at a higher price than markets for SV, though its lead has shrunk slightly. At press time, the pre-fork token was trading at $415. So, in contrast, Bitcoin Cash SV price plunged 22% at the time, reaching $136. So, you know, it's quite a large price differential there. So, according to TradingView, Bitcoin Cash ABC may also be seeing lower volume figures on trading, with only doing 876,000 USDC being traded over the last 24 hours, up from 818,000 yesterday. So, Bitcoin Cash SV, on the other hand, saw 976,000 USDC traded in a 24-hour period, which is interesting since it's picking up volume, picking momentum there. So, Bitcoin Cash, I mean, I think it was last October, Bitcoin forked, and then Bitcoin and your Bitcoin Cash. Bitcoin Cash has always been a bit of a, I don't want to say cult movement, but there's always been like a lot of people who are very diehard Bitcoin Cash, or very diehard Bitcoin. There's few people who are in the middle who want both. I think the original idea for Bitcoin Cash was interesting, but you know, if you actually look at what they've done, they haven't really improved anything. They haven't really increased scalability. They haven't really increased Bitcoin to be used as a transactional payment form. So I know Bitcoin has, you know, faster payment rails that they've been working on internally, the Bitcoin core devs. So it's interesting to see what's really going on here, and to see it splitting again, I think is a negative for Bitcoin Cash, because like hard forks are always tough because you really are dividing the community, and then you have them kind of working against each other when really everyone should be working together. It's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting to see what comes through. Hard forks themselves, I find very interesting, because you always have new innovation. There's always new people who are going to lead that particular token. You had Roger Ver leading Bitcoin Cash. He still is to this day. You're going to have a new leader pop up who's kind of the main representative of the Bitcoin SV. So that's going to be really interesting to see that come through and see which one's going to work, because time always tells. So something else that's caught my attention is the IMF chief calls for exploration of digital currencies. This is huge. Christine Lagarde, managing director and chairwoman of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, has encouraged the exploration of central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, in the light of decreasing demand for cash and rising preference for digital money. Huge news. In a speech prepared for the Singapore FinTech Festival on Wednesday, Lagarde said, "I believe we should consider the possibility to issue digital currency. There may be a role for the state to supply money to the digital economy. Various central banks around the world are seriously considering the issuance of digital currency, including Canada, China, Sweden, Uruguay," she said. "They are embracing the change and the new thinking, as indeed is the IMF. Lagarde noted that major cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Ripple are also vying for a spot in the cashless world, constantly reinventing themselves in the hope of offering more stable value and quicker, cheaper settlement. However, at the time, the IMF has also publicly criticized cryptocurrencies as of recent, saying to the public, cryptocurrencies offer an alternative to CBDCs, which is obviously their currency that they're working on, which is interesting. In a new report titled "Casting Light on Central Bank Digital Currency," and revealed Wednesday alongside Lagarde's speech, the IMF said cryptocurrencies are different along many dimensions and struggle to fully satisfy the functions of money, in part because of erratic valuations. When evaluating different forms of money in the report, such as cash, cryptocurrencies, private e-money, and commercial bank deposits, the IMF concluded that cryptocurrencies are the least attractive option. I would disagree with that one. The organization went on to say that cryptocurrencies received a low score in settlement speed due to current technological limitations, though acknowledged they do offer the advantage of an amenity, while tech limitations may eventually be overcome. By the way, that's complete rubbish, because I know Ripple, and I don't want to give them any credit, but I know Ripple have an amazingly fast settlement system that they have been working on, and I think you can transfer $50 million in value, you know, to the other side of the world in literally 35 seconds, which you cannot do with traditional money. And I obviously didn't want to highlight that, but that's the truth. And what you think about that, that's kind of, that's putting them out of business, the International Monetary Fund, having an asset that can transform across the world in less than 30 seconds. That goes against everything that you do, and you cannot compete with that, with the current forms and regulations that are out there for traditional cash. So they obviously don't want to show the truth too much. The positives of the story are pretty clear. Christine Lagarde publicly coming out and not only kind of acknowledging cryptocurrencies, which he has done for a little while now, but also seeing that there is a place for them, rather than the traditional approach from institutions of there is no place for this. This, you know, we have a cash society and we have contactless. We don't need cryptocurrencies any way, shape or form, which is not correct. So it's interesting that now they're really starting to see a digital economy. And of course, they're not going to be using or wanting to use Bitcoin, the Ethereum, Ripple, EOSs of the world. They're going to be wanting to create their own currency that's backed by them, that they have control of. I mean, that's the only logical thing that I can see from this situation. Why would they want to do something that they're not in control of in any way, shape or form? Something that you got to know today is that CoinCheck, the Japanese exchange, has started to relist certain tokens. So Japanese digital asset exchange CoinCheck has resumed trading of three digital coins, including NEM, which is trading ticker is XEM, the cryptocurrency that was in the focus of arguably the biggest hack in crypto history. Approximately $350 million worth of NEM was stolen in the attack on the platform in January of this year. According to its website, CoinCheck has also relisted Ether, ETH, the trading ticker, and LISK. The bracket or the trading ticker for that is LSK, after a technical safety confirmation was obtained in cooperation with external experts. So this is huge. OKX and CoinCheck were hacked. So it's interesting they come back online. And by the way, if you're an exchange and you have been hacked, I imagine it's incredibly tough for people to trust you again. And just because you're relisting popular tokens, like, big deal. You need to rebuild the trust that you lost to your clients. That's huge. I mean, if I was a client and my funds were stolen, come on. Are you telling me you'd go back there again? I mean, you'd be pretty crazy to, like, okay, no worries, the hack's done. Yeah, no worries, I'll transfer all my crypto back there. I think their biggest thing is to, as I said, build trust, build brand again, and really kind of get aggressive with adding more value than any other exchange out there. And I guess the first thing they're going to do is lower trading fees. And everyone can lower trading fees, but they need a better strategy. They need something that's going to make people feel comfortable again, really open it up to the public to check out how the security procedures work, have it tested by a third party who people know or have heard of before, and really open it up there. Well, listen, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention as always. Remember, we're going to be posting lots of cool content on our Twitter and on our YouTube page. So if you haven't already, follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Hit us up on YouTube. If you type youtube.com/SVK crypto, subscribe. It's the best place to be on YouTube. Believe me there. Also hit us up on Telegram, SVK crowd. Thank you so much for your time and attention. We appreciate it each and every day. That's a wrap. And I got to bounce.
Listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website www.svkcrypto.com.